Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The following podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed during the show are solely those of the individual cast members and in no way reflect the views of our guests and sponsors. We have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for our guests and in no way want them to be associated with our sick, demented, and inappropriate sense of humor. Consider yourselves warned and welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. Fuckers.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio down, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee.
It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Yes, folks, you're listening to It Burns When I Pee, episode number 58, the anti-Valentine's Day episode. I am your host, the podcasting god.
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and Whitney Houston is dead.
Oh,
crack,
sorry.
Is whack.
Crack is whack, mostly in the bathtub. Anyway, we now have gotten rid of, what's that old girl's name?
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse and Whitney Houston are now dead. I'm just waiting for Britney to completely lose it.
How did Bobby Brown survive this long?
I don't know.
Because we all know that's what killed Whitney years and years ago.
I don't know. It's that new addition luck that he has.
I guess it's his prerogative.
He can do what he want to do. Anyway, we have with us tonight, as always, the one, the only, Amish BJ. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey-o.
And, of course, we cannot have an episode of It Burns When I Pee anymore without our favorite gal and her intro.
3, 2, 1.
It is Cold Beer Coley. How are you, my dear?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm doing great. I got all these sound effects going.
You are the man.
I am just a man among men. or whatever you want to call it. What song did we just get done playing, BJ?
We just got done hearing The Goddamn Gallows and Black Eyed Vermilion with Wanderers.
That is an awesome song.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do have bad news.
Uh-oh.
Everyone, I have bad news. Dum, 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 dum.
Dum, dum, dum.
I don't know why I played that. I just thought it would be a cool place to... So anyway, this is the last It Burns an IP episode at the IBWIP studios.
Boo.
The roommates are very upset.
I'm sure they're crying.
They're packing the fucking boxes around me.
Why you're doing the show?
Yeah, they're like, you need help? We pack up your clothes for you? I'm like, hey, just take it easy.
Easy, guy. Just calm down there.
All you can see is like dollar signs in their eyes, like all the money they're going to save. But yes, we are going to, after we record this episode, I will be packing up the studio and it will be moving to its new location. So,
yay!
It's going to be pretty cool. So, I'm excited, but yet a little sad, you know.
I understand, Blake.
It's time to move on.
Moving
out is a big step in a young adult's life.
You know, my 15-year-old son, I told him that we were moving, and we were driving in the car, and he pats me on the shoulder and says, "Congratulations, Dad, for moving out of your parents' house." I was like, bazinga on me.
Yeah, he got you good.
So in honor of this being the last show, we have a tremendous, tremendous show planned.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
This is the Farmageddon Records giveaway show.
It is. And the anti-Valentine's Day show.
Yes, every year. Maybe this year I'm not so much jaded, but I'll still give my opinions. But we always do an anti-Valentine's Day episode. And Farmageddon Records, tonight you're going to have an interview with James Honeycutt. And let me just tell you guys, it was one of the best ones that we have had on the show in a long time. So I'm really looking forward to everybody listening to that. Every artist that we're playing tonight is Farmageddon Records artists. Of course, I feel bad because we can't play everybody. So before I get nasty emails after the show is released, there's no way I could get everybody in, so I do apologize for that. We are going to do Stupid People Doing Stupid Things, the Valentine's Edition. And it's got a little cool little theme to it. We're gonna do fan feedback, right, Coley?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna do tons more stuff.
Sorry, I was drinking at the time.
That's okay. I can just fill it with this.
I am your father.
No.
And Blake, this is also a groundbreaking episode because, as Nicole can tell you, what's in my glass right now?
He's got water.
Water.
Yes.
You're on the wagon.
No. I just got over the stomach flu, and PBR is not looking too appealing right now. So ice cold water for the beach tonight.
Wow. You're going to be on your game.
No, I'll probably suck real bad.
It's a very bad feeling about
this. You should.
Let the Wookiee win.
Let the Wookiee win. So, BJ, why don't you go through the contact, just the quick contact information, because everybody is just tuning in. They're all pumped up about the show. They want to know how to get a hold of us ASAP.
All right. You can give us a call at 206-339-8419.
Sexy.
That is also 1-800-HOT-PISS. Or you can email Blake at IBWIP.com, AmishBJ at IBWIP.com, or ColdBeer at IBWIP.com.
And we definitely would like you to call in or dial in. We love fan feedback. And if you don't...
Don't fail me again. Admiral.
All of a sudden, now my name is Admiral. So, how was the Valentine's Day?
It was very nice, actually.
It was good.
She sounded surprised. She's like, actually.
Yeah. Well.
Until he got sick.
Yeah, I made crab legs and steaks, and they were all awesome, and we gorged ourselves on food, you know. And I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm, you know, stomach flu in full swing. And I tell Nicole I'm not going to work. And she says, oh, you just ate too much, you wussy.
No, I said pussy.
Oh, okay. She said pussy. And I tried to explain to her, no, I didn't just eat too much. At first I thought it was food poisoning, but then nobody else got sick, so I knew it wasn't my cooking.
He always blames seafood.
It's because I always get sick after I eat seafood.
Did you get sick when we went and had crabs for anniversary?
No, that was pretty awesome.
Okay. So, just shut up. You just make excuses for being sick.
So, was there any gift giving before the poop?
Yeah, we don't usually exchange gifts. She did give me a gift earlier last week.
What was that?
Shall not talk about that.
Oh.
She cut me.
I do want to hear about this. I do want to hear about this because I'll tell you why. I know you guys don't like your personal business on the radio, but this is kind of ironic that we get an email from a listener chewing you out for talking about hitting your woman. Next thing you know, she slices your arm off.
Right.
So bring it down for us.
Here's what happened. I have a big, huge spatula, like a stainless steel spatula. And this son of a bitch is about the size of your head, right? How big around it is. Well, it has a serrated edge on one side and like hot fucking pokers on the other side. Like, it's like a hay fork on the other side. Well, she's washing it, you know, cleaning it all up. And she like comes around and she's tapping the kids on the butt with it, you know.
Was playing and right. It wasn't even like a hard tap. It was just
you were just tapping them, you know, like playful
patting.
Well, I thought I'd be a smart ass and I grabbed a wooden spoon and we started fencing with it.
Yes.
And she goes to hit me and I go to duck out of the way. Like I kind of jived a little bit. Well, as I jived, my elbow went down towards my butt. Well, the serrated edge cut my elbow, and I don't think it just cut my elbow. I think it also like maybe chipped or cracked the bone because it's still swollen now. And I didn't even notice the cut at first until Nicole said, "Hun, you're bleeding."
And then she said,
"I have you now."
Yeah, that's exactly right. She put me in like the force pinch, and like. Pussy, you die now.
I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
Blake, you really didn't need to get sound effects. You should have just told me what to say, and I could have. I got those movies memorized. But anyway, so I take off my shirt. And throw it in the wash machine quick.
Because that was the first thing he thought about, because there was blood on his shirt. He needs to get it into the wash.
Right.
Not
I didn't want it to stain.
The wound. Not tend to the wound. No. Wash the shirt.
Well, I didn't really know how bad it was at that point until I was standing filling the wash machine and there was blood dripping all over the floor and all over the wash machine.
It just goes to show you, Chris Brown. That if you keep beating up on Rihanna, she's going to come back and cut your elbow off.
Right, with a stainless steel spatula.
That's right.
It serves me right for bringing a wooden
spoon.
Yeah, spoon to a spatula fight.
There you go. Oh.
Stainless steel fight.
Yes.
So,
Coley, are you entering some counseling possibly, or what are you doing to make sure this doesn't happen again?
To tell you the truth, like,
just make the long story short.
To make a long story short, no. And yes, it did serve him right, but I felt absolutely horrible, 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 horrible about it. I was actually going out later that night to do some things, and I didn't even want to leave the house because I didn't know if I'd have to take him to the emergency room to get stitches.
Lord.
That's how bad it was.
And she said, happy fucking Valentine's Day to you, buddy.
Yeah. I was pretty lightheaded after all the blood I lost.
So I gave him a beer.
Yeah, the first thing she does is come and bring me a beer. I got thin blood as it is.
Right, I was going to say, that's not going to clot it, that's for sure.
Yeah. She comes and brings me a beer. I'm like,
I was thinking of the pain. He doesn't like taking the aspirin or anything like that, so I got him a beer.
She's a great wife.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice.
She's like, he died. He bled to death, but he had a PBR in his hand.
He died happy.
He did love his PBR.
She says, that'll teach you. Racist! Don't get cocky! I already did that one, didn't I?
No, you didn't do that one.
I got to put this away because it's going to really get annoying. All right, let's get into a song and we'll be right back. Coley, you have the honors.
We are going to be listening to If You Love Me, Let Me Go by High Lonesome.
Or If You Love Me, Cut My Arm Off So I Can't Leave.
Exactly.
Rumble, rumble, your black hair's hanging low. Your naked arms are glistening and frozen from the snow. Emma Rumble, Emma, tell me, for if you don't let me know, my heart's already taken, so tomorrow I will go. Emma, gladly I'll stay with thee, only if just for tonight. I will read the lines between your palms, just move into the light. Let it bathe you, let me know you, you who have been so confined by the beauty that you suffers while your hair is growing white. Your hair is growing. Can't confess. Emma, sadly, I must leave thee, as my true love waits alone. On the porch step in the moonlight, she looks out and through the cold. If I kiss you, I must kill you, you told me in gentle tone. Emma Rumble, do not wait for me, I'll see you down. See you down the road. In my hometown, the sheriff found my true love in the snow. Her body lay beaten there and covered in your clothes. Emma Rumble, Emma Rumble, I cry as my shotgun. Heavy now, and I'm walking down the road. I'm walking down the road. I'm walking down the road.
I sense much fear in you.
I like you, little Yoda. All right. Ready when you are, sir.
All right. Welcome back, folks. You just heard Graham Lindsay with Emma Rumble.
I love that song.
Good song.
I just got into Graham not too long ago. I know I'm a big douche, but it took me so long, but I'm digging it.
Yeah, it's very, very good stuff.
And that song right there kicks ass.
That it does.
All right, so... Going back a couple episodes, we had the discussion. Actually, the spousal abuse kind of got started with the discussion about Hall and Oates.
It did. So, see how it all comes around, Blake?
It's a circle.
All right, so we're going to add somebody to this call here. We're going to, I'm surprising you here a little bit, and we're going to call this number. A fan has given it to us. So let's see if all my fancy technology stuff will work.
Goodness.
Okay.
Welcome to Colin Oates, your emergency Hall and Oates helpline. To hear one on one, please press 1. To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3. To hear Privatize, please press 4.
4 for what?
Sorry, I did get your response. Welcome to Colin Oates, your emergency Hall and Oates helpline.
Hold on.
To hear one-on-one, please press 1.
You die.
Nice. Don't push me down.
How do you hang it up? Crap. Oh, okay. So it's basically you just call at this at any time, and you can hear any of those three songs. But there is no song four.
No song four.
So now, anytime there's a spousal issue with Hall & Oates, just pick up your phone.
Yes, that it's like the spousal abuse hotline or something.
The BJ and Coley spousal abuse hotline.
Right. Whenever I get a little randy, I just call, you know, Hall & Oates. I'm thinking about getting a Hall & Oates tattoo.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
Would you get like a picture of their faces?
Yeah.
Would it be like 80s or would it be like their picture now?
No, it would be like 80s with both of them giving me the thumbs up.
with the big old mustache. Looks like a fucking carpet.
Caterpillar on his lip.
All right, which one's the one with the black hair?
That's Oates.
That's Oates? All right. How about I just go ahead and get his hair tattooed in my private area to make it look like a bush?
Or you could just stop shaving your bush.
Yeah. That's the biggest tribute to Oates ever.
So I just wanted, you know, I wanted all our fans to know that if you dial 1-719-266-2837, I recommend everybody call and we just kill the server on that thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Keep hitting four.
Yeah. What is the mystery song? And then, like, you push four, and it starts the Burns and IP theme song. Coley.
Yes, Blakes. What you learned?
I like you to do what you do best.
And that may be?
Fan feedback.
Dough.
How'd you like that?
That was amazing.
Wasn't it?
Who needs sound effects like?
Strong am I with the Force,
but not that strong.
This is my favorite one of Yoda. It reminds me of me.
Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you?
I say that to Molly all the time.
Judge me by my size, you do?
Okay, so what have our wonderful fans have to say about us this month? Oh, Lord.
At least it was short this week. Except for the last one.
We don't want short ones. We want lots of them.
Size matters not, Blake.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the first fan feedback is, I normally email Blake, but I'll try spreading my love a little. Nice to hear Lyda Loveless on your show.
Lydia.
Sorry, I'm awful.
Amateur hour.
I hate it. Nice to hear Lydia Lovelace on the show.
We're putting her back at contact information next month.
Yeah. Because I screwed up the name again. Let me start it again.
Three, one. Two, one, contact.
I normally email Blake, but I'll try spreading the love a little. Nice to hear Lydia Lovelace on the show. That song is crazy awesome. Hope you all last longer than Blake's sidekicks normally do. And I've attached a contender for your theme song, Daddy Wants a Cold Beer by the A-Bones. Did you actually listen to that song? Because it was actually really good.
I'm gonna put it as a little ditty during the show or at the end of the show.
Ah, cool. I suppose Daddy wanting you is kind of creepy, but I'm sure you can edit it. From Paul in Scotland. Thank you, Paul.
He's alive. I thought maybe he was dead.
Yay, Paul.
I'm glad you're back. Every time I think of Paul, I want to read it like Sean Connery.
For the last time, Dad, it's just a bloody movie.
You're cockstrong.
Cockstrong.
like the ox.
We're nerds.
All right, the next one is...
I'm so cockstrong, I'm going to... get an album released of music I don't want nobody to know about. Not even make a dollar. Why? Because I'm an idiot.
All right. Really enjoying the interview with...
Hold on.
Help you, I
them. Yes.
Lydia Loveless.
I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay. Because you knew I had that sound?
Yes. Okay. Her voice and song... Her voice and songwriting are awesome. Keep up the good work and God damn it, I need another beer. Keep up the good work, you magnificent.
I wish I had a soundboard that said magnificent.
All right. Horse
hold on, hold on, hold on. Take a deep breath.
Yes, it's a guy's drink. Flows from the force, but beware of the dark side.
Magnificent.
Magnificent. Mag fucking nificent.
Mag fucking nificent.
Wow.
Horse lovers. And that was from Jared.
Uh oh.
What happened?
No, we're good. We're good. I'm just playing with some stuff trying to get the volume right.
This is the worst fan feedback ever by me. All right. Any responses to that one?
I didn't. I got lost. I don't even know what you said.
Yeah. Here, do you want me to reread it?
Hey, BJ, yeah, could you?
Like you can read just about as good as me right now.
I'm on water.
He was just saying he enjoyed the interview and her voice is great and keep up the good work, you magnificent. Ha ha, I said it. Ha ha, horse lovers. And that was from Jared.
Jabber.
You know what? Jared is the man.
Yes.
He is. He is.
Well.
Well, one more time for Jared because he loves this one. Hold on, let me see if I can get it here. Wow, I have no life.
It's okay, Blake. None of us do.
I think I know I'm reading from a paper. That's why I was usually reading on the computer. So I think that's what's messing me up.
All right. We got any more? Just those two?
Yeah, I got one more. Oh, that's okay. I promise I won't screw it up. Yeah, I know.
She's sweating trying to read.
She's like, why did I commit to saying that?
I'm sweaty. Okay. I am not Jeff, besides the name and the email. I have listened to the show for months, but have been too scared to post a comment. You motherfuckers finally give away a prize I want besides Lucky Tub, and you give it away to some shut-in? I mean, I really love your show and completely respect all of you, especially you, Blake, and would never call you a fucking homo like those closet queers, that closet queer Jeff. Sorry, excuse me. That closet queer Jeff does at every chance he gets because he's too stupid to think of intelligent insults. I'm pissed, you fucking horse cock gargling homos, Coley not included. I hope you get raped by a black wiener, you racist bastard, Blake. Whoa, what happened? Anyway, I hope me coming out of my shell finally will boost your guys' egos and win me the prize. Fuck you, Blake and BJ, you are dead to me. And that was from Steve.
Wow.
Steve.
That's
cool. Well,
it was
you
racist.
Got some pent-up anger there, man.
Yeah, you need to jerk off more.
Yeah, you need to talk to that cock loving faggot Jeff.
Oh my!
And we wonder why nobody listens.
What's that?
We wonder why nobody listens. You just call their only fan a cock sucking faggot.
Cock loving faggot.
You have to do it with a Texas draw though, otherwise he doesn't understand you.
You cock loving faggot. Was that good?
Yeah, we love Jeff though.
Yeah, he's good.
We're and actually, in honor of the new at Burns IP Studio, the big wooden plaque that he made for us, we're gonna put it in the bathroom over the toilet.
Nice.
Yeah, I had that okayed through the decoration committee. If you know what I mean.
It's a good thing that you cleared that.
So, fans that send us fan feedback get to interact with us like that. And you're probably wondering, how the hell do I get a hold of you guys? First of all, okay, I want to say it one more time to everybody. There is a dial-in number. It does not cost you anything. You can put it in your phone, save it in your phone, and then anytime you feel the urge, please dial 206-339-8419.
Use it.
We have not had a voicemail in a while.
No, we have not.
Not to one.
We're paying for this, to have this option to you. Use it, guys.
Use it.
We promise we won't call you names.
Yeah, we can't do that.
If you don't want to talk on the telephone, you can email us at blake@ibwip.com. Amish BJ. At IBWIP.com. You're French, by the way.
And oui, oui.
coldbeer@IBWIP.com. So we have three email addresses.
Yeah, write so I can fuck them up when I read them.
Yeah. Please write in Ebonics.
No, don't do that. Please don't do that.
You know what? I'd have
to call my sister in to help me read that.
The only one she didn't really fuck up was the one written by a drunk guy.
Right. I want everybody to put in the next fan feedback email they sent, they have to say the word magnificent three times in the email.
Screw you, Blake.
I tell you
contest.
What, for every fan that sends in a fan feedback this month with the word magnificent in it three different times, I'll send them stickers.
Magnificent, magnificent, magnificent. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, just wait till you have to read
I
it.
I know, right?
And if you want to also win some prizes, you should also follow us on Twitter, and that's twitter.com/IBWIPCOM. I gave away some stickers the other day. Gillian. They won some stickers because they were paying attention.
Yay, Gillian and Ira.
Woo, you guys have no life. You're following me on Twitter. And we're on Facebook, as always. So you just search IBWIP and like our page. Just like it.
Do you still have a MySpace? Because I think that's coming back.
Really? I have one, but I don't know the password.
Yeah. Oh, no. I deleted mine. Yeah, Never mind.
I deleted yours and mine.
And go check out the new IBWIP.com.
Woo! It's beautiful.
It is. I'm very proud. Andy wanted to kill me by the time it was over.
No.
Yes.
Not you.
Yeah. So, but definitely go check it out. I like the front page of it because you can see like the last three or four or five episodes, and it's really easy to get to. And also, it's very important that folks go and, you know, put this on because excuse me, cock in my mouth. We have on there the Stick'em feed where we'll be doing live stuff come when we get the new studio.
Woo woo.
There's also a tab for the staff. You can read a bios on each one of us.
Nice.
There is my blog. There's photos, which I haven't started putting new ones on. The YouTube page. There's a link to the YouTube page. We have PiaVision.
Yes.
We got a links list. And there's the live tab. So if you come on to IBWIP when we're doing it live and you want to chat, you just click on the live and the stream is right there and you can chat with us.
Yay.
And the newest tab put on there is the VIP.
Ooh.
Yes, we are in the process of developing the, it's called the Dirty Stalls VIP Lounge.
Ooh. Sweet.
So we're going to look for that. Hopefully by early summer we have some of that. So, and we got little RSS feed, Twitter, there's four little buttons at the top. So I really dig it. I think it's cool.
Awesome.
It is.
Are you done bragging about yourself now?
Well,
because I want to hear some damn music.
Okay, so damn music, fine.
All right, let's go ahead and listen to the man, James Honeycutt. with One Last Kiss.
Nice.
Yes, we'll follow it up with the interview. We'll be back, folks. Thanks again to James.
Just how far can it go before we reach the point past right and wrong to a place where we no longer know? Where the lines were drawn from love to hate, by heaven or by hell, please God, just look the other way. Torn apart forever unfulfilled, fierce and swift to move in for a kill, just look the other way. Please, just one last kiss. I gave you my heart and my soul. I'll hold you in loving bliss so that you might never turn away. Please, just one more kiss.
Alright, folks, welcome back. We are here in episode 58 of It Burns an IP, and our special guest, I even have an introduction for him, so... And we have with us our guest tonight, James Honeycutt. James, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, man. That was awesome.
Something new we're also doing is we're trying to get, you know, fans to write in questions to ask. And the first question that somebody said was, ask James about Star Wars. And I'm like, he's into Star Wars? And they're like, oh, my God, yeah. So I thought that was a fitting little intro for you.
No, that was awesome. That made my night, man. Thank you.
So tell us kind of a little bit about your you know, you're into Star Wars. Who would be, like, your favorite Star Wars character of all time?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'd probably have to go with Darth Vader just because the whole premise is built around, it's kind of the prodigal son kind of story, you know, take on that and built around Anakin and Darth Vader. Like, it's, so he'd probably be my pick. There's a lot of good characters in the old movies, though, but I'd probably have to go with Vader.
Awesome. So are you into the, like, the newer ones that have been made, or are you just a hardcore the original three?
I'm mostly the original three. I mean, I like the storyline. Like, I read the books, too, and I liked the newer movies. They weren't as good, obviously, as the old ones. You know, a lot of... I don't like the CGI so much, and the first two, like, the newer ones, the first three, they were just really long-winded. Like, a lot of plot development, not a lot of action, but I thought Revenge of the Sith was pretty rad. I thought that tied it in really well going into the original three.
Are you going to watch the new 3D one?
I don't know. I'd like to see it. I'll be excited when they do that with Revenge of the Sith, or if they do that with the old movies. It comes out in a few days, I think, and I'm going to be on the road, so I don't know if I'll get a chance to right away.
Well, that's pretty awesome. You know, it's the first time on It Burns IP that I've talked to, you know, artists about Star Wars, so.
Hey, that's cool, man. Anytime. I'm a total Star Wars nerd. I got the Star Wars tattoos to prove it.
Awesome. So I guess we'll get in a little bit into about the music. I kind of want to know, you know, what's going on with you right now? I mean, it seems like you're always everywhere. You're always touring. You always got shows going on. So kind of tell us what you're doing in, you know, the February, March time frame, if you know.
Okay. I'm actually heading south. I'm in Eugene, Oregon right now. I'm heading south to start a month-long tour with Graham Lindsay. We're starting that tomorrow night in Alameda at the 1400 Club in Alameda. And we're going to play about, I think, 20, 25 shows over the course of the next month.
Awesome. And
it's going to cover, it's going to cover mostly, most of the shows are in California. I think we've got one in Reno, but it's mostly just California, which is pretty cool because I haven't, I've been in California here or there, but I haven't really hit California hard in close to 2 years. So it'll be good. I'm hitting a lot of places that I haven't hit since April 2010. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. So what else do you have going on? Do you, you know, have any recording going on or anything in the works?
A bunch of stuff, actually. I'm going to be going down to Nashville to start working, hopefully finish, if not, you know, at least get well underway. My next album, which is going to be my first official Farmageddon release. I'm recording that with Jeff Firebaugh, bass player for Hillbilly Casino, a good friend of mine. He's got a studio in his house, so I'm going to try and knock out as much of it as I can there. And plus, a lot of guest musicians, a lot of friends going to sit in on stuff, too. So it's just Nashville is a good place to do it because a lot of the people that I want to touch base with or have play on it are, you know, really close or in Nashville already. So I'm really excited about that, too.
Do you have, like, a time frame when you're hoping to have everything done and have it out?
I'm hoping to have it out by June. I'm hoping to have it done in time for Muddy Roots Europe because I'm doing that, and that's my it's the first Muddy Roots Europe, and it's also my first time going to Europe or playing in Europe. So I'm hoping to have it done in time for that. And for the tour we're going to do, we're planning a tour, like a two-week tour after Muddy Roots Europe. It's going to be I'm going to be playing Derek Dunn, 357 String Band is going to be playing. And then we're going to headline with Jake and the Broken Band doing a package tour. So I'm hoping to have that done in time for that. And then Farm Fest, which we're doing, July 20th through 22nd in West Yellowstone, Montana. There's just a lot of cool stuff right after that. June and July are going to be awesome with festivals and tours. I'm doing the Great Heron Music Festival in New York, too, 4th of July weekend. Jake and I are both doing that. And Muddy Roots and Cookville again, too, in August and September. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, man. I'm really excited about this year.
So when do you, like, breathe? When do you take a breath? I mean, when do you get to sit? When do you kind of take some time to yourself and relax? Ever?
Not much, man. I mean, I tried. I actually took my first, quote-unquote, break last year. I went, like, 3 weeks without any shows, and that's the first time I've done that. Probably, I don't know how long, in several years, actually, because I did the math on it, and I've been playing 200, 250 shows a year, like, the last 4 or 5 years running, and I just got home from the last tour a couple nights ago, and then I'm leaving for this one, so I got 2 days to breathe this week.
Wow. So, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, your next album is going to be your first release on Farmageddon Records. And that's, you know, Farmageddon Records, we're playing all Farmageddon artists on this episode. And I'm pretty intrigued at what Farmageddon has built up in the past, you know, year and a half, 2 years. And I kind of wanted your take on, you know, why is Farmageddon, you know, first of all, you know, how are they attracting, you know, the best of the best, in my opinion, and what brought you to them? What made you want to, you know, kind of sign up and be part of the family?
Well, I think it's exactly what you just said. The key word is family. It started between really good friends, and it's just grown that way too. I mean, I think the big thing, there's a lot of, like, incredibly talented people involved, but first and foremost, the thing that's most important and apparent to me is that they're just really good people involved. Like, if someone was, like, really badass, but they're an asshole, we wouldn't work with them. Like, it's really kind of organic and grown as a family based on friendships first. And the music, you know, the music is there, but that's not the big thing. It really is a family, like you said. And that's, to me, that's the most important thing and why I think it's grown the way it has in such short time. I mean, we're still DIY. We're not making much money, but it's, the name has been growing just like wildfire, and it's because of that family type aspect. It's so organic that when we meet people, people can tell that we're real, that it's not some contrived thing. We're not waving a banner to be something we're not, and we're not doing this to be cool or get rich or get laid. We're doing this because we love it, and we're genuinely appreciative to be able to be doing that, and I think that's why it's been growing the way it has. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are part of it that aren't on a label, too, and I know that Darren like has like the general store and the website. Like, we distro and sell a lot of stuff that isn't necessarily like quote unquote Farmageddon, but we're not out. We're not just in it for ourselves. We're trying to make it more of a collective and to help as many people as we can, because it's not, you know, it's not a competition, you know, it's kind of a teamwork kind of thing is how we view it, you know? So those are the big things. I'm going off on tangents here, but to me, the family aspect of it, the friend aspect of it, keeping it real, those are the things that are most important about it. And that's what attracts me to it and why I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I noticed was, you know, even at Muddy Roots 2011, which, you know, I was lucky enough to attend. I already have my tickets for next year or for this year. But, you know, when there was a Farmageddon artist playing, all the rest of the artists were there in support. You know, it was whether it be somebody, you know, whether the name was big or small, you know, everybody in the, you know, the family was there to kind of support him, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, totally, man. I mean, that's like kind of proof of it too. Like, it's a real neat friend first kind of thing. And it's definitely not a conventional label by any means, you know?
And that's good. We don't want conventional because that'll make it go bad. You know, and we were also talking, you know, you're talking about doing Muddy Roots Europe this year and also doing Muddy Roots. You know, last year at Muddy Roots, I think you played with everybody. You were always playing. And I've noticed that, you know, over the years, you're always playing with somebody. You're doing solo stuff. You know, do you think that, I mean, how do you manage being able to, you know, just pick up and play one style and then, you know, pick up drumsticks and play drums? I mean, I'm amazed that you can do that and not miss a beat.
Oh, I don't know if I don't miss a beat, but I mean, I'm just real lucky, man. I've got a lot of friends, and the beautiful thing about that, too, is it was really organic to do as well. Like, we were all there with friends, and it just kind of happened. You know, I was asked to do stuff, and when humbly accepted doing that, too, I mean, I kind of felt like, you know, I didn't want anybody to think that I was just trying to go crazy and play as much as I could. It just kind of naturally happens that way. And it was awesome. And the thing that I think is funny, too, is, like, I had the same Slayer T-shirt on the whole weekend. So, like, all these different pictures, like, with Jake doing my thing. And with Dom Maddox, like, I'm playing drums with Dom Maddox. I'm wearing a Slayer Halloween T-shirt. And I was like, man, that's funny.
Exactly. So, you know, it, one of the things I've noticed about your music is, you know, there's so many influences. Like you said, you can be wearing a Slayer shirt. You know, you've got rockabilly, punk, blues, country, and metal, like, influences. Do you kind of find it, the more influences that you have, you know, the wider spectrum it gives you in songwriting and, you know, and just performing in general?
Definitely, man, definitely. You know, because I love too many types of music to just strictly try and, like, wave one banner. Like, you know, I don't consider myself a country artist or a rockabilly artist or a punk. Like, it's all there. Because I love music, man. I love everything from NWA to Slayer, you know, and so much in between. To me, it's not the style of music that's important. To me, it's just if it's real. Like, if I can tell that the artist is coming from the heart and it's real, that's kind of what I gravitate toward. And a lot of my favorite artists are that way, too. A lot of my favorite artists, I feel, were mixed bags as far as their influences go. They weren't just playing strictly one style. You could hear that bleed through, you know, and I hope that I like to think that that's what comes through in my stuff, too, that maybe, like, my solo stuff, it might be kind of a hard thing to throw a specific label on because those different things are apparent and come through, and I'm proud of that. Like, it's important to me to have that all come through because I like all kinds of different shit, you know?
Sure. So we had another fan question that wanted to be asked. Actually, I got a couple here. The first one is, how many golf balls can you fit in your mouth?
Oh, my God. I've never tried, honestly. So I have no idea. I'll tell you what, though, just for fun, though, if I get the opportunity, if the opportunity arises and there are clean golf balls that I can do that with, I will find out.
I'll bring a sleeve of brand-new golf balls to Muddy Roots. How's that?
Okay, I will do it. We will figure it out.
All right. Another question is, you know, one of the songs that you're kind of known for is your rendition of Hybrid Moments by Misfits. And, And one of the questions the fans asked was, you know, when was the first time that you heard Misfits, and how did it really, how did their music affect you?
Oh, wow. When I first heard the Misfits, honestly, I didn't like them. And the reason was, I first heard the Misfits, as with most people that are my age, unless the Misfits were such a fringe thing in the punk movement, like you really had to know what was going on. And I was by no means a punk rocker like in 85 or 86. When I started playing guitar, when I first heard the Misfits, it was through Metallica, because I'm a total thrash speed metal guy. You know, that's my roots as far as playing music goes. And when I first heard the Misfits, I kind of dug it, but like I was so into the real tight, you know, tight proficient metal guitar playing that when I first heard them, they didn't do much for me, because I was just like, oh, these guys can't play that good. You know what I mean? That was the first thing that I heard. But then a couple years later, I heard them again, and I was like, oh, my God. And I connected the dots. I realized how big of an influence they had been on bands like Metallica. It's just blatantly in there. And then I fell in love with them. So I think when I first heard them was probably 85, 86, and it didn't really catch for me. But then a couple years later, then I heard them again, and it was like, okay, I get it. Like, this is awesome. And that was actually the next thing that I flipped out over. Metallica was my favorite band in the 80s, and then a couple of years later, it was Misfit, Samhain, and Danzig. You know, that was the next thing that I flipped out over.
One of the other questions, I think it was Dog by Harris, told me to ask you if you like the old Metallica or the new Metallica.
Oh, I think I just answered that one.
Yeah.
I like to pretend that the last 20 years or so, like,
never
for my own sanity, I just pretend that they broke up, like, in 89 or 90.
So, you know, one of the, you know, we always talk about music, and we talk about, you know, how everybody got into music. I guess, but, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, doing all this touring and being on the road all the time, you obviously have to make personal sacrifices in a way, you know. And so I guess one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, you know, how do you incorporate, you know, a personal life, yet still have, you know, be on the road all the time? You know, how do you manage that?
It's tricky, man. I mean, for one thing, my son is older. My son just turned 19 yesterday. If he was really young, I wouldn't be able to tour the way I do. I mean, he's, you know, he's an adult and can take care of himself. He's supportive of me doing this too. There's that aspect. And plus, you know, I'm single. I joke about it often at shows and stuff that I'm batting a zero in the successful relationship department, you know, but it's hard to do. And you know what I mean? Like, you kind of, to really go for this and do it all the time and really go for it, I think with anything in life, you kind of make the conscious decision that, okay, I'm not going to have a house. I'm not going to be married. You know, I'm not going to do a lot of the things that you want to do and that you're kind of expected to do, you know, or taught that that's what you're supposed to do growing up. And it's not that I don't want those things, but I know right now at this time, it just wouldn't work. You know, and I haven't found the right woman that, you know, that just naturally fell into place with, you know, and I hope to do that someday, because I definitely, you know, I don't want to die a single guy. I'd love to get, you know, fall in love and be married and have a house and all that someday. But those aren't my top priorities. I mean, the music first is definitely the passion in my life.
And then
my son, you know.
Sure. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, the example I kind of wanted to show is, because I kind of knew that about you, and I just wanted to kind of show an example to the listeners or people who maybe not be, you know, necessarily be into the genre of, you know, or whatever, but the sacrifices that you guys make, you know, I think us as fans kind of take that stuff for granted. And, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why I asked you that question, to kind of, you know, give that example. So I do appreciate your honesty on that. And
no,
I find it amazing.
That's a great question too.
I find it amazing that you're single, because every girl that I know talks about, you know, is lining up at James Honeycutt's door. So after this interview, you might get some, you know, email offers or whatever. So,
oh, that's cool.
You know, James, like I said, you know, I first met you about a year and a half ago, and I you know, I really hadn't heard too much about you personally, you know, but I saw you play with Jake and with Rachel. And then we sat down on that couch, and we, you know, we were in the interview, and I just, from that point on, you know, I really dug your music. I really dig your personality, and you're one of the genuine. There's many, many genuine guys and gals out there in the genre, but, you know, you definitely are one of those that stand out, and I wanted just to tell you I appreciate what you're doing, and I definitely appreciate your music, and you're one of the really good guys, and we definitely appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. That night was actually, I think that was the funnest interview that we've ever done. We talked about that. We still talk about that. That was a lot of fun,
yeah,
man.
It was a good time. So, you know, I don't want to spend, you know, too much of your time. I know you're traveling, but thank you for the time. And, you know, when you get the album done, definitely let us know, and we'll have you on again, and we'll play some tunes. And anytime you're in the area, you've got a roof to, you know, a couch to sleep on or whatever you need.
Thank you, brother. I'll be sure and get you copies of it, too, when it's done, man. You'll definitely have it.
Definitely. And, you know, the one last thing is, have you heard the whole "what would James Honeycutt do" thing?
Yeah, I actually, when that started, a couple people were joking around about it. I know Daniel Colby was talking about it a little bit. Owen Mays was talking about it, Darren. And I remember, was it BJ, I think, yeah, that had the cooler? Or was it Daniel's cooler? Someone had a cooler at Muddy Roots. And they had actually stenciled that on there, on the side of their cooler. And Danielle took a picture of me laying down next to it, because there was a picture of me with my flipping off, which is kind of funny because I'm usually not that hostile. But it was a picture of me flipping the bird, and it said the letters, "What would JH do?" And there's a picture of it from Muddy Roots that Danielle took of me laying on the ground next to the cooler. So I think that's when it really, really kicked off. it's kind of funny.
The words of wisdom. So whenever we do something, whenever we decide something around here, we have to stop and think, what would James Honeycutt do?
Oh, no, that's a lot of pressure, man. I'm only human, brother.
We're usually wrong. Don't worry.
That's cool.
All right, man. Well, have a great tour, and keep in touch, and thank you again for your time, buddy.
Will do. Thank you, brother, man. It's awesome. Anytime, man.
I haven't used the last one yet. I burned my 99 light. three pennies and a nickel is 8 cents.
Yay.
He fucking whore.
Whee. Since you just went out, I'm going to.
I just smoked half. It's up on the windowsill if you want it.
If I.
Fine. Mine ain't good enough for you.
Did you quit smoking?
Being.
Did you quit smoking?
Like, no. Oh, I'm going to go smoke then. I didn't think about it.
Go smoke.
All right, I'll be right back.
Huh?
What?
3, 2, 1.
What?
Okay. All right, everybody, welcome back. And you have just heard my honey, James Honeycutt, One Last Kiss.
No, you didn't. No you didn't.
99 lives.
Oh, 99 lives. I was up too high. All right.
She's too high.
I'm too high.
Because I got high.
So high. All right. Welcome back, everybody. You've just heard a song by my honey, James Honeycutt, 99 Lives.
And thank you again, James, for being on the show. He's a great guy, and it really comes out in the interview. I totally dug it.
Yeah, he is a great dude.
Yes.
So let's talk about, you know, we kind of touched on an interview. I kind of wanted to touch on it and kind of give our opinions on it. Just the whole family aspect of what we got going on in the scene, and, you know, everybody doing shows and everybody in just how we've all kind of met over the years and become family. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just got to touch on one thing, Blake. As of last week, us and Filthy Still and Sean K. Preston came up with a new word rather than scene.
Okay.
Is pencil.
Pencil.
Okay.
And if you're out of the scene, it's crayon.
Right.
If you do something stupid, you're crayon.
Right.
I like it.
Yes.
So let's talk about the pencil.
Okay.
The pencil.
Now I'm hip and cool. See, now I'm in the pencil now.
In the
right.
pencil.
Right.
I was a crayon.
Like you were a crayon, but now you're a pencil.
But, you know, one of the things that has kind of drawn me into this whole pencil is just like the family aspect. And I'll admit, you know, when I first started getting into Hang 3 and was on the message board, back then it was like a family. Like, you guys, we would exchange, you know, burn copies of CDs, and just it was really kind of cool. And it kind of, that's kind of no longer like that. But it just kind of grew from there, and then I started doing the show, and started meeting people by doing the show, and then you guys started calling into the show and stuff, and
yep,
you know, look at us now, we're
family.
So, what BJ? I'm sorry, I didn't know she was singing. BJ, why don't you give me your take on just that aspect of the pencil.
The pencil?
Is it a mechanical pencil or a regular number two?
It's a number two.
Okay. It's a number two. It's got to be a number two. Ticonderoga. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's really odd because, you know, usually, you know, there's the stigma of meeting people on the internet and this and that. Are they going to be axe murderers or this or that? But as you may know, like,
Besides Coley, there are no axe murderers.
Right. Spatula murderers.
Yeah, it's not axe. It's a spatula, damn it. Get it right.
But as you know, I mean, we all talk to one another on Facebook. I mean, it probably started off on MySpace and, you know, in chat rooms of this and that. And, you know, when we all, say Muddy Roots, when we all got there, it was like we've known each other our whole lives. There was not any weird time, nothing like that. Everybody that you seen there would come up, start talking to you. It is like one big gigantic family.
And I think
dysfunctional at times, but a damn good family.
Well, and what family isn't dysfunctional in some form or another?
Right.
You know, but you know, I consider like you guys, you know, family, and like Derek and Tawny, and even Peg's the fucking Canadian.
Right. He turned us on Canadians.
Yeah. I mean, he was the ambassador. He helped smooth our relationship.
Yeah. It took me a while to understand him, but once I could.
I just kept, I thought he just kept saying, I'm going to change my shirt.
Now I shall teleport.
No, but and I think we all, you know, everybody in the podcasting kind of thing and doing shows and just everybody that promotes this kind of music, I think we all just need to step back and just remember that that's why we're here is because of the music, and that's why we're here is because of the family and the relationships that we've made.
Right.
Yes.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Because without that, then it's the same thing as pop radio, you know?
Yeah, or, yeah.
I concur.
Or gangster rap.
Oh,
soon
yeah.
Soon be drive-bys and such.
Drive-by truckers? No. Oh.
No.
They were the original OGs, the drive-by truckers. Coley, do you have any thoughts, feelings, concerns?
I will make a long story short and say I pretty much agree with what BJ said. And like I said, when we started finding shows for bands and such, you know, James and Rachel were the first two people, and they're, you know, that we invited into our home after one of their gigs. And I mean, it was just instantly family. We were like heartbroken when they drove away. We're like, no, come back, you know, because you just build that bond, and it's amazing. I mean, you wouldn't think that would happen overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk to them on the internet and it's completely different than what people say. Whoa, you've got an internet friend. Ho, ho, ho. You know, no, it's not like that.
I've got an internet brother and sister.
And when they were in here, you know, the kids loved them. They treated our kids like they were their kids, you know, and like I said, when they drove away, we're like, no, come back, you know? So it's great. It's a family. It's wonderful. And I can't say anymore.
You know, to add to that, you know, after we like opened our homes to so many musicians throughout the last year or so, people go, I can't believe you're letting strange people in your house.
Yeah.
None of these people are strange to me. It's all, you know, we all know one another
right.
at this point.
And that brings it back to the computer thing. Well, I talk to them like every day. Well, you talk to them through the internet. How's that even knowing that person? You don't know their personality. Like, trust me, we all let our true selves out on the internet. It's not anything we're hiding. We're not trying to be somebody we're not. We're just us.
Right.
And they're who they are. And, you know, that's what made the group bond, I think, more so than what they, you know, what other people think.
Exactly. And I don't think that there's, you know, with the 700 miles between me and you guys, we're sitting here doing a show. But, right. You know, like with Derek over in all the way over in Folsom, California, I mean, I can call him if I needed anything in 5 minutes. He would do everything and anything above and beyond to help me out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. And how did we get these relationships? Because of the music.
Yes.
Right.
So just remember that, fuckers. God damn it.
Pencils will unite.
Pencils unite. Do a math problem. Three pennies and a nickel is 8 cents. So I thought this was also a good point in the show to kind of talk about the newest project that you got going on. BJ, you got Christy Fest, and we'll kind of touch on that probably next month's episode because it'll be closer too. But
right.
What do you have in your bundle of madness?
Well, hopefully by the time this show airs, we will have Silent Storm Radio up and running.
Woo!
What is Silent Storm Radio, I asked?
Silent Storm Radio will be the new home of my show, The Happy Hour,
Woo.
Mike's show, Sunday Night Roundup, Tim Pop's Rebel Rouser Country, and many, many more. I'm not going to do all country shows. There's going to be some other stuff mixed in there. I don't want it to get too watered down. But Blake's been doing more of the work than I have on it, but...
And that's why we love him.
Yes, and I thank him for it because I'm an idea man.
I'm a control freak.
Yeah, you're the perfect man to like sick on somebody and get it done.
I'm like a hemorrhoid. I don't leave until I'm properly medicated.
Right. Me, I'm just like, when it gets done, it gets done. But you know what? I'm itching to do a live show again.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be awesome. And you know, I loved, you know, when we were getting ready, kind of setting up, getting the stuff, ideas together for the website, I was like, what's the tagline going to be? What's the, you know, because, you know, It Burns When I Pee is, you know, Pissing on the Porch or Corporate Nashville or whatever. And I, when you said this, you're the tagline to me, I was like, that's fucking perfect. Do you remember what
yes.
you said?
It's very perfect.
Unaffiliated, independent, live music.
Nice.
And that actually came from a conversation with me and Sean K. Preston last week. A lot of stuff went down last week. I went to a show, half sick to my stomach, about ready to cry, just infuriated, really down. And he sat down and we talked a while, and it just popped in my head, and that's where it is.
Awesome. Well, I wish you all the best of luck.
Yes, I wish you all the best of luck also. With your new adventure.
On SilentStormRadio.com.
And thank you in advance to Andy from Section 86 for...
Thank you, Andy.
Yes, thank
we
you, Andy.
You.
Sorry to sick Blake on you.
Telling you, I don't mess around. So
let's
going
to have that up by tomorrow.
I hope so. I'll let you know it's 7:53.
Okay. I'll put a playlist together just in case.
All right. So as always, you know, we do a giveaway. And
right.
Darren from Farmageddon Records was kind enough to send us a Farmageddon care package, so to speak.
Oh, thank you, Darren.
And I'm not going to tell you what all is in it because it's part of the surprise. And last month, Mitch won the Lucky Tub autograph CD.
Yay, Mitch.
Woo!
Thank you, Mitch, for participating. So we were talking earlier about what we can do as the newest giveaway contest. And
yes.
So, Coley, BJ, or who wants to go through the rules? BJ, you're kind of the rule guy. Like, you explain the rules a lot better.
He's more the rule. Yeah.
All right. Well, we kind of came up with the idea of, since we have a lot of Star Wars theme coming through this episode, which every episode should be Star Wars theme, I'm just saying. Any Star Wars fans out there that have tattoos, I guarantee you they have a Star Wars tattoo. And we want to see the best Star Wars tattoo. Judged by me, Coley, and Blake.
Yep.
Right.
And me, I was raised on Star Wars. My mom, instead of parenting, would put me in front of the TV with the original, the good Star Wars.
The original three.
Yeah. So... anyway, we want to see your Star Wars tattoo, and it's got to be a close-up of your Star Wars tattoo and then a picture of you wherever so we can see you and, you know, the tattoo from afar so we know it's you.
So you don't cheat.
Yeah, so you just don't pull it off the internet.
Right, because we don't want cheaters.
Right.
Cheaters never win, says Yoda.
Cheaters
are
white beaters.
Sorry. I keep cutting you guys off, but it's just so much fun. Just push a button and it goes.
Yeah. We're not used to you having
Jedi
sound effects.
Flows from the Force, but beware of the dark side.
Beware of the dark side. So, the cutoff date, we'll say March 20th?
Sure.
All right, so get your submissions in by March 20th. Close-up of the tattoo as well as a picture of you, and we will judge, and the winner of this contest will get a Farmageddon giveaway package.
Woo! For the wiener. I mean winner.
So let's do some music, because I got... This last segment is going to rock the asses off of people.
Fuck yeah, man!
Fuck yeah!
Woo!
Get her done.
You just ruined it.
I know.
Like, all right, guys.
Of all the cheesiest tags I could do, it would be that one.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go ahead and listen to Rachel Brooke, Lonesome Turns to Boresome.
And then I masturbate. We'll be right back.
No.
On IBWIP.
Idle hands are the devil's workshop.
I'm always working.
Lonesome turns boresome once alchemy's old. You used to think nothing was better than gold. If you spend all your life seeking worldly delight, you're building your home. Those who can't see past their own vanity feel so special when they play A through G. Your pride has no purpose, no reason, no thought. Oh, your brain is a black hole. Information paradox, lonesome boring. Everyone's lovely who stand the right way. I'll think something different as soon as you say. Worked all my life to obtain all this strife, and now you should listen to me. Those who can't see past their own vanity feel so special. Have shiny teeth. Your pride has no purpose, no reason, no thought. Oh, your brain is a black hole. Information paradox, lonesome.
Everyone, this is Tawny Kay.
And this is Hobo Hiatus.
And we're from Trailer Park Romance Radio Show. And we wanted to cordially invite you on down to our trailer park, where we play the best music for your listening pleasure and dish about our trailer park neighbors.
Those neighbors are always up to something.
And we share our deep love for good music, good conversation, good friends, but most of all, our deep love for each other. Because I love you, Hobo!
And I love you, baby.
So please, come on down and hang out at X Transmission FM on Tuesday evenings at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard, 7 p.m. Eastern.
And remember, if this trailer's rocking, come on in!
Broken down at the shoulder of the road, thumbing for a ride as I'm shaking off the cold. Just a few more miles and I might have made it home at last, to be there with my friends, talk about the past. My mistakes, they have always paved the way, direction of life, stories of the day. But now I'm gonna fade, ghost of the days. Now I'm gonna fade, specter of things that change. Now I'm gonna fade, face without a name. Now I'm gonna fade, the streets won't be the same. Nights in jail with black eyes and busted teeth, cold steel bars, flip-flops, and a cot where I can sleep. more cigarettes, no one to curl up with. Muttering suicidal thoughts underneath my breath. All I want in this nightmare I call life was ride the road with stories told, an outlaw way of life, but now I'm gonna fade. Most of those days, now I'm gonna fade. Specter of things that change, now I'm gonna fade. Face without a name, now I'm gonna fade. The streets won't be the same.
It had a flute in it.
Dun, 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 dun. Sitting on
five little girls with bad intents.
Bad intentions? Or he just didn't, that wouldn't fit in the song?
It was intense.
What about intense? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's supposed to be intentions, but it's short.
It's short.
It's short. Short.
Let's see, is this it? I think this is it.
It's just the first
thing. Sitting on the park bench, five little girls with bad intent.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense. Bad intent.
Yes.
All right. Well, that clears that up, and now we can continue the show. No use cutting anybody over that. You win.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's sad that you know that much Jethro Tull.
I only know that song. I seriously really only know that song. Oh, wait, no. It's the one, the Bungle in the Jungle. That one I like, too.
That's the sex move that me and Molly like to do.
The Bungle in the Jungle.
Bungle in the Jungle in that one.
I'm like, come on, honey. Grow that hair on your butthole, and then...
And I have to thank my uncle for that, because he was a big Jethro Tull fan. So he'd play it all the time when we were driving to his house and doing whippets and shit.
Whippets with my uncle listening to Jethro Tull. And I wonder
that was not a good combination. Whippets and fucking driving from Folsom, Pennsylvania to fucking Westchester. Yeah, that wasn't good. Doing whippets the whole time.
And is he the one that taught you to be a spatula Jedi?
Yes, he did. Not Shvetty.
Shvetty balls? Okay.
Shvetty.
Here we go. Action.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Dirty Stalls. You just heard Jake Orvis with Streets. Streets.
And that kind of had a plethora of everybody on it.
Yeah, that did. That's what I like about Jake's album. It's a throw in everybody and make it awesome kind of thing.
Look for Jake's album probably in May.
Nice.
Oh, you heard it here on IBWIP.
Never mind.
You probably already knew about it.
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You're always good. You're so good for my self-esteem.
I know.
You're like, I don't want him to be a crayon anymore. Just let him say it. He'll act like a pencil.
Pencil.
No crayons.
All righty. What's next?
Another song?
No.
Is this the first time you've ever done a fucking show?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Let's talk about Tawny and Derek's show.
No.
I don't even know what the fuck we're doing now.
You were supposed to segue into that.
Oh, my goodness
sakes.
As
creatively as possible.
I am being creative. I'm winging it. Good Lord. Anyway, speaking of stupid people like me, let's do the segment Stupid People Doing Stupid Things.
All right. It took about 47 seconds to get there, but all right. So I just want to preface this story that domestic violence is never a joke. But this is funny. In a way. Depends on how you look at it. All right. I will run the story, and I will periodically pause it so we can discuss, because Skype won't let us talk out while it's going. Okay?
All righty.
Yep.
For the Huffington Post, I'm Christina Hartman. A Manchester man was jailed Wednesday after choking his wife to death over his Star Wars collection.
He said, "Bitch, you better put down my Luke Skywalker limited edition."
Okay, just for the record, I had a whole room in Star Wars, and I think I would have killed if somebody would have went in there and started screwing with stuff.
Definitely.
That's why I took it down when the kids got old enough that they wanted to start playing with the stuff.
Because you didn't want to have to kill your children.
Right, because I didn't want to have to be on guard at all times. And her little brother and sister actually came into the house one time and ripped up some of the stuff that was in original packaging. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was a little fuming.
Okay.
My big tauntaun. I'm still mad about it.
Wait a second. But now they're all down in boxes, and the kids go down there and just tear them open anyway.
No, they're in boxes, and they only take out the ones that were already... Because I used to buy two of each. One to take out of the package and one to keep in the package. So I let them play with the ones that I took out of the package because they're pretty much worthless anyway now.
So I just wanted to preface also that the newscaster is Filipino or Asian. Can't really tell. So just one in case it's important later on.
Highlight.
Okay, here we go.
Star Wars collection. 30-year-old Ricky Latouche said his wife, whom he met while on vacation in her native Thailand...
He was on vacation when he met her in Thailand? No. He went and bought her.
Right. Exactly.
That's the way it should be done. That should be a Valentine's Day right there.
I'm going to go Thailand, pick me out a wife.
I am going to take Obi-Wan Kenobi with me.
His wife, whom he met while on vacation in her native Thailand, destroyed his prized memorabilia, which he'd been collecting since he was a child. LaTouche later told police that his wife had smashed...
His name is LaDouche? LaTouche.
All right, I'm just going to say it's probably not right to strangle your Taiwanese wife.
Taiwanese.
Isn't that
nice made up word.
No, I think that's really what they're called.
You know, fuck on Han Solo.
Okay. I think that they're really called Taiwanese.
We'll Google it. Hold on.
We'll have to look
Yeah, Google that shit right now.
Child. LaTouche later told police that his wife had smashed up his Star Wars collection as part of a campaign to make his life hell.
I don't really think that's going to make your life hell.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Really? I mean, it's going to disappoint you, it's going to make you mad, but it's not going to make your life hell.
But if these were, like, original Star Wars toys from, like, when the movies first came out...
Well, she said it was from when he was a child.
Right.
He started collecting.
Some of those things are pretty...
priceless.
Yeah, and, I mean, a spatula maybe would have done, but...
Okay.
His collection as part of a campaign to make his life hell. He claimed he was a henpecked husband who flipped after she threatened to leave him to go back to her native Thailand.
Let me read that back to you. He claimed he was a henpecked husband who flipped after she threatened to leave him and go back to her native Thailand. Well, let me just tell you something, LaDouche, whatever your fucking name is. First of all, if you get a Thailand wife and you bring her on over here, all right, you pay good money for her, all right? You don't have to be henpecked, but you should probably... Those girls would fucking kill you.
Right.
She just must have been off her game that night. Hold on.
Her native Thailand. The BBC notes he said that after further arguing, all he could remember was getting on top of his wife and that he thought he had choked her. And according to the New York Daily News, after the killing, he ran straight to his mother and told her he had killed her. Police later found Sriss Roy dead in their bedroom, a pillow over her face.
If I kill somebody, I don't think I'm going to go run to my mom.
Well, come on, he did collect Star Wars toys. I'll be the first to admit that we're a bit geekish. I'm just saying. I would run to my mommy, too. Like, Mom, I think I just killed Nicole.
All I can remember is being on top of her and choking her.
She can't read or follow directions on the lineup.
But she can sure do some fucking laundry.
Okay, I just want to clarify. I went back and looked it up. I would have been right had she have been from Taiwan. They are Taiwanese. People from Thailand are Thai.
Ah.
Sorry.
But hey,
there is a such thing as Taiwanese.
But hey, here at Burns 1 IP, we want our facts to be straight and we don't want any problems.
Yes.
Okay, let's finish up with the LaDouche.
Their bedroom, a pillow over her face. LaTouche was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 12 years served. For the Huffington Post, I'm Christina Hartman.
Well, thank you, Christina Hartman. Is it worth it?
No.
Because you can't take those toys with you in prison. I don't think they let you have those.
They may let him have, like, a poster of, like, a hot chick in a stormtrooper outfit.
If they had the toys with him, they'd probably get shoved up his ass anyway.
Don't they? I heard they shove stuff up in their penis to make them stay erect.
What?
I heard something like they take chess pieces or something and shove them up their penis.
That's an awful big piece to send up.
But then they have to go to the infirmary or something because obviously he has issues.
Suppose.
All right, if I ever have to go to jail, I'm ending it before I go there.
I'm just shoving one of those Lego Star Wars guys in my poop hole.
Yeah, I've never broke the law. Well, that I've gotten caught for.
Pumpkin thief. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Pumpkin.
But, But if I ever have to go to jail, I don't know, man. I don't think I can handle it. There's too many perverts there.
Yeah.
You included?
I'm not going to do some dude up the butt. I'm sorry.
No, you'll be the one receiving.
I know. That's why. Sorry.
Your name will be Brenda instead of BJ.
Right. And I'll have to wear lipstick and tie my shirt up so you can see my belly.
Holla.
Holla.
Make sure you shave the hair first. Yeah,
they don't care.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, we couldn't get all the Farmageddon artists on, you know, music played on the show. So I don't want anybody getting mad at me. I do apologize, but I wanted to read off, you know, Perez Farm, Owen Mays, Dogbite Harris, Slack Eyed Slim, Filthy Stills, Steve Tombstone, and Ugly Valley Boys. Did I miss anybody?
I think there may be a few more, but
that we didn't play?
I think there may be some that are like loosely affiliated.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't mean to offend anybody. I don't want anybody coming after me and saying I'm a dickhead. But I mean, they're gonna say I'm a dickhead. But
yeah, well, yeah. Actually, send us fan feedback where you call us mean names.
Penis heads. Penis brains.
Penis faces.
Penis.
Taiwanese.
Well, if you'd like to go and check out the rest of their artists or affiliated artists, go to www.newrootsorder.com.
Wow, look at that.
Nice.
I think she just redeemed herself.
I just saved my butt and my job on the show. You're welcome.
Your verbal contract?
Yes.
Yes, your verbal contract has been extended one more month.
Thank goodness.
Or at least 15 days.
Right, yeah. So, again, thanks to James Honeycutt. Thanks to Farmageddon Records. Thanks to all our fans. Thanks to BJ. And thanks to Cold Beer Coley.
Woo!
And thanks to Silent Storm Radio for giving me yet another home, because I don't seem to do well in playing in other people's yards.
Yeah, you're not a good player in yards. Just saying.
I did not know you couldn't masturbate in somebody's yard.
It's okay, Blake. We've all made that mistake from time to time.
It's always from a time or two. We've all jacked off in somebody else's yard and our dad comes out and sees. It's always happened. So do you guys have anything you want to plug or anything before we go?
Not right at the moment.
Yeah, we'll talk about Christy Fest and get an update on the March show.
Okay.
My birthday show. We'll do a birthday show for me because I have an ego and I have to have a birthday show for myself.
Woo, birthdays.
Coming up in May, 5 years for us, guys.
Woohoo!
If the Taiwanese don't come after us.
Them angry Taiwanese.
You know fuck on us, Joel.
Fucky.
Fucky, fucky.
Hey, listen here, fucky.
You said you give me Star Wars collector's item for my daughter. You give me shit cheap knockoff.
Is this in Star Wars?
It says made in China.
All of them are made in China.
Remind me to burn your collection later.
Ooh. Don't do that. I don't want him dead. I don't want you dead, Coley.
Nah, I think my spatula incident got me through the whole year of 2012.
She's going to take your limited edition Obi-Wan Kenobi and just like hold it up and go, just remember the spatula, fucker.
Right. I won't do nothing to the figure. I'll just say, remember when?
All right.
You're just wrong. Just wrong.
That's racist.
That is racist. Why does it have to be Obi-Wan? Why not one of the sand people?
Why not Lando Calrissian?
Because he's the smoothest pimp in five galaxies.
Drinking his cold Colt 45.
Damn right.
All right, boys and girls.
Yes, like there's no tomorrow.
Right. We end the show every month the same way, and the only way we can end it that's appropriate. BJ, give us your double shot, buddy.
My double shot is the Calamity Cubes with Daughter of the Devil. and JB Beverly before they get the cuffs on me, I believe is the name of the song.
I believe that Coley should be singing that song because I'm going to turn her in for spousal abuse right after we get off the interweb.
Damn it.
Nice.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Again, great show and great spending time with everyone, our listeners as well. Make sure you check out IBWIP.com and make sure you also check out SilentStormRadio.com and get the times and dates of all the new shows. And we'll see you in March.
Right on.
Toodle toodles.
See y'all.
She says, right on. That's almost as bad as get her done.
No, I didn't say get her done.
I said it's almost as bad as get her done. I said that.
I had an awful show, and I don't know why.
Please don't hit me with a spatula. Please, please, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
You had a good show. You're too hard on yourself.
I am. But when I hear it later, I'm going to be like, damn it. I was so jacked.
Why was Blake too fucking lazy to edit that thing?
Daughter of a preacher, when she gets mad, she speaks in tongues, and I can't quite understand her, but the meaning's clear, and out the demons come, but the meaning's clear, and out the demons come. Told her I would never leave her. Said you better not, because your soul is mine, and I'm believing everything she's saying. I've been a fool such a long time. I have been a fool such a long time. Tired of me being there, hanging around. She was tired of me being there, just hanging around. My girl, she's the daughter of the devil. I can see the evil. Sun was shining brightly. The birds.
bird sang a sweet song. It was such a lovely day that nothing could go wrong. And I walked down to my local bank to get myself some cash. The clerk said, "No, sirree, Mr. Beverly, you're flat on your ass." And the judge sent me a letter. The sheriff's after you, 'cause you haven't made a payment since 1992. So I reached across the counter, I grabbed him by his tie, and he hit me with a stapler, so I busted both his eyes. And I grabbed that judge's letter, I tore it to the floor, then I grabbed up all that money and I walked right out the door. Let's show how we walk one time. Into my driveway, not a soul inside. When I came back out, that's when I saw those red and blue flashing lights. And I reached for my rifle as the sheriff grabbed his gun. And I laid that bastard on the ground and I started on the run. Let's show them how we run, boys. Of time, but I've gotta take a stand before they hang me for my crimes. Now you might call me a simple man because I hold a grudge, but before they get those cuffs on me, I'm going to kill that judge.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy
and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.